Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Dr. Brian McElroy, who is a primary care physician in Ireland. He's been at that for over 8 years, and he also is now training to become a teacher of the Alexander Technique. He's in the third year of a three-year program. And we're going to talk today about basically why primary care physicians might want to know about the Alexander Technique, either for their patients or and or for themselves. So, Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
So could we begin with a short definition or description of the Alexander Technique?
Sure. So for me, the Alexander Technique is involves a process of transformation. Practicing the technique involves shifting from an internal reliance on familiar thinking, feeling, and behavioral patterns to living in a more present, intelligent, and creative manner. So the technique, I guess, is often quite rightly known for its benefits for back pain, and it's often associated with improving your posture. But I guess it's becoming more widely known that the Alexander Technique is beneficial in a very broad context, from performance to reducing anxiety to helping with psychological issues. So there's a lot of different complaints that patients may present to their primary care physicians that would benefit from Alexander Technique lessons, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And some of those complaints, back pain, would be, I think, a classic example, are often very frustrating for primary care doctors because they often don't. There's no sort of magic bullet in the medical world to take care of that. And what I've seen is that many primary care physicians would kind of by default just recommend someone go see a physical therapist.
Yeah, back pain is so common. I would see 2 to 3 people with back pain every week, either chronic or acute. Often we're really at a loss in terms of trying to help people with the training we have. Mostly what we can do for people is give them short-term analgesia, encourage them either a balance of rest and some physical activity with long-term physical therapy, as you mentioned, or maybe things like acupuncture. Mm-hmm. And then for a small minority of cases, we might refer to a pain specialist or to a neurosurgical doctor for an opinion, but it's for the vast majority, a lot of them end up seeing their primary care physician maybe once or twice a month in extreme circumstances, but certainly once or twice a year with recurrences of back pain, neck pain. So it really is a big issue for primary care physicians.
So if referring a patient to physical therapist is often the route, what is it about the Alexander Technique that might be an alternative?
So I guess from personal experience, I developed lower back pain in my fourth year as a medical student, and I had it for 3 years. I tried everything under the sun, including seeing my primary care physician, a rheumatologist, having MRIs. I tried acupuncture, osteopathy, physiotherapy. I even went to energy healers. I really tried everything, but nothing really had a long-term effect on my complaint. And it was only when I found the Alexander Technique that I found something that gave me relief, both short-term and long-term, and made 100% sense to me, to my mind. I guess for 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 physiotherapy, and I don't mean to dismiss physiotherapy as a treatment for back pain, I do know that it didn't work for me, and it does not work for a lot of people. And it does work for some people, but I guess what physical therapy will do is it will help strengthen certain muscles. But most primary care physicians will recognize when a lot of people who come into them with back pain, you don't need to be an Alexander Technique teacher to recognize that their heads are often pulled forward and down, their lumbar curve might be exaggerated, or their thoracic and dorsal curve can be completely exaggerated, and they can be standing more so on one foot than the other. Often when you palpate their muscles, they're in severe muscle spasm. And I guess what the Alexander Technique does is it helps to correct all of those things. In the short term, it can help to release muscle tension, or muscle spasm. And in the longer term, it can help align the whole of the human being, the whole of the mechanics of that human being, when they're sitting, when they're standing, when they're moving, so that their muscle tone is more appropriate for each and every movement.
Right.
So that's the big difference, really. You can do all the strength exercises in the world, but if you're still sitting, standing, and moving around in a way that's distorting the basic mechanics of your body, it's going to create muscle tension. It's going to create excess compression on certain joints, on certain nerves, and really both strength exercises, even injections for pain won't help to correct long-term the very basic abnormal or malfunctioning body mechanical issue.
Yeah, I think your point that pretty much anyone can see in someone severe excess tension. And if they have that pattern as part of their living, so to speak, they're going to take that tension into any exercises that they are prescribed. And so yeah, there is some danger of digging the habit in even deeper.
For sure. And I often have people coming to me who describe that, I'd love to go walking, I'd love to go swimming, but every time I do, it makes my pain worse. And now some people get to a certain stage where they're almost afraid to do anything and they don't know what to do. And back pain can be so debilitating and create a terrible sense of desperation for a lot of people. And my strong opinion is that the Alexander Technique can really be an enormous help for a lot of people. And it's backed up by a wonderful study in the British Medical Journal. It's 10 years old now, but it was a large study involving over 500 people, and they compared Alexander Technique lessons to massage or standard therapy and exercise. And what they found is that people who had 18 lessons of the technique had 80% less pain 1 year after the beginning of the study. So it not only showed significant benefit, but the key, in my opinion, is that they followed up for a full year, because often with a lot of different therapies, you get short-term benefits and it's hard to know what exactly helps, whether it's the relaxation process or the so-called placebo effect of believing that you're going to be helped from whatever you're receiving. But when you have something that brings about an 80% reduction in pain after 1 year, then that's a really significant finding. And I think primary care physicians would know more about the Alexander Technique if that study was replicated, or if there was more studies like it. But unfortunately, and again, I don't mean to be controversial in saying this, but the Alexander Technique isn't a drug sponsored by million or billion dollar drug companies. And if it were, I think it probably would be the number one selling drug for back pain.
And for our listeners who are in the US, especially the US, I did have a conversation in another podcast with a spinal neurosurgeon who was very enthusiastic about the technique, and he said, in a way, it's too bad from our point of view that it was the British Medical Journal and not something like the New England Journal of Medicine, where it would have gotten a lot more coverage in the States. So,
for sure.
A little aside there. But, you know, this whole business of excess tension, which, of course, as you say, can be associated with back pain or neck pain or other symptoms of that kind, also, it seems to me, is correlated pretty strongly with some of the emotional states that you mentioned as well, anxiety and perhaps even depression, that, again, there is that physical correlate to the mental. Someone comes in to the doctor and says, I'm anxious all the time. I think there's a pretty good chance, excuse me, that you're going to notice that they're also physically tight all the time.
Yeah, absolutely, Robert. And like what Alexander discovered is that we're psychophysical creatures. One is inseparable from the other. And again, as a GP or as someone who's experienced 6 months training in psychiatry, You see very obvious physical manifestations of things like depression or anxiety from someone whose eyes are constantly on the floor if they're depressed, or if someone is anxious where they've got their legs crossed and they're really, really tight in their bodies. They're leaned over and compressing themselves in a very dysfunctional way, which in my opinion just adds to the low mood, because they're experiencing themselves as their experience is becoming more and more contracted. And what's wonderful about the Alexander technique is that in terms of a person's attention, it tends to open up a person's attention. They tend to feel more relaxed but also more expansive, both by practicing the semi-supine, which is often part of Alexander technique lessons, but also in direct lessons. The other really interesting part of this, and again I know from personal experience, is that like Alexander described how his technique is about how we respond to the stimuli of life. When I first came to the technique, I had finished my first year of working as an intern in Ireland, which is similar, I think, to the first year that you finish after you finish med school in the US, where you work 60 to 100 hours a week. But I was essentially burnt out, and I really didn't know whether I would be able to return to medicine and practice as a doctor. And during that time period, I went to see two psychotherapists, and both of which were somewhat helpful, but it was actually the lessons in Alexander technique that really helped me to deal with the day-to-day difficulties of life, both as a person and as a doctor. So when I went back to work, I felt so much more empowered to deal with the challenges of working as a doctor. It was a radically different experience for me, because the Alexander technique, I guess, again involves becoming more aware of your body and becoming more present within your body, and noticing noticing the subtle ways in which we respond to. It could be a person who's complaining about a physical ailment, or it could be someone who's angry with the service that you're providing or another doctor has provided, and these stimuli can so easily put me or any doctor off in terms of how they go about the rest of the day. And by recognizing that, I guess, by recognizing for any challenging situation that previously has put you wrong, you can use what Alexander described as inhibition, as in not responding how you would normally respond, and learning ways in which you can respond in a more calm, in a more quiet, and in a more integrated way for the benefit of yourself and for those you're working with. And for me, was an absolutely remarkable learning experience, and continues to be so.
Yes, and one thing that I wanted to add is a bit of a side note, but actually pretty relevant these days in the U.S., that one solution, I put the word solution in quotes, is prescribing painkillers. And in the U.S., there is this terrible opioid crisis that we're now facing, some of which came about just from overprescribing of these new modern and very powerful opioids. And sure. So primary care physicians in the U.S. now are being kind of warned about that and have to come up with some other solution in many cases. And the Alexander technique does have the advantage of being pretty empowering for people who use it. They learn how to take charge of themselves. And it's not addictive, other than some people go on to be, are so interested in it that they go on to be teachers, but it doesn't have that addictive issue. So it's I think a pretty good thing to know about. I don't know what the opioid situation is like in Ireland and England these days, but in parts of the U.S., it's a serious crisis these days.
Yeah, I think it's certainly a problem that's growing over here, but not to the degree that it is in the U.S. I think, like, what strikes me really is that, in my opinion, that all doctors really want to help their patients. And I think the opiate crisis is one of these things whereby, again, powerful drug company representatives give very, very strong messages to doctors that, like, in the instance of opiates, maybe 20 years ago when their marketing campaign was in full swing, what often happens is that the drug companies overstate the benefits and minimize the risks. Mm-hmm. And the other thing in terms of the Alexander technique, there was a wonderful presentation at the recent International Alexander Technique Congress in Chicago of how Alexander Technique can be helpful in addiction. It was given by a lady called Rebecca Ferguson. And she spoke about how, like, Alexander Technique is the ultimate rewiring of a nervous system gone wrong. And in addiction, really what you have is at a neurobiological level, you've got a brain that is completely reactive. The fear, flight or flight responses are very much prevalent in most people who are addicted to something. That's usually the reason why they seek the drug in the first place, that or pain. But basically, the Alexander technique, by helping to calm the person's nervous system and by empowering the person with the fact that we always have more choice in any given situation, can really be helpful for addiction. And the lady's presentation was quite remarkable to illustrate that point in an addiction setting.
Right. And she speaks from personal experience herself.
Yeah.
So it's
sure.
It's very powerful. Is there anything else that you would like to say to a primary care physician who might be listening to this podcast?
I guess, first of all, if they're curious, I would really encourage them to approach Alexander Technique teachers. As a primary care physician, you may even get your first lesson or two for free if you ask kindly. Because really, primary care physicians are gatekeepers in terms of people's health, in terms of people that come to us. We either open up gates or doors that are helpful or unhelpful. And in my opinion, the Alexander technique is so helpful for people with problems like back pain, repetitive strain injury, a range of other musculoskeletal problems. And I think there is growing recognition, at least in the Alexander technique world, of how it can be helpful for different psychological states or psychosomatic complaints. So if you're a primary care physician listening to this, I'd really encourage you to go for lessons. And if you don't go for lessons, read the research that is there. There's a growing body of research, over 100 papers published on the technique. Or read some of the books that are available. There's probably 50 to 100 books available on the technique at this stage. So
Okay. There's
lots of resources out there.
Well, this might be a good place to bring our conversation to a close. I will put a link to your website by the interview and to a website that will allow you to find a teacher in your area and learn more about the technique. And I'll also make a point of putting a link to a page on that site that lists pretty much all of the research, the medical and scientific research that's been done on the technique. So, Brian, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Robert. It's a pleasure to contribute. Thank you.